Football Fix with Doug and Wolf. Presented by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Oh, yeah, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Hour number three of the Doug and Wolf Show. Savages in the morning, broadcasting for our 13th year, high atop the Auction Community Studio.
Barely.
Are you kidding, ladies and gentlemen? What a momentous day it is, the Friday before the weekend, and for many of us, the long weekend.
A lot of us have the President's Day weekend off, so yeah.
That's beautiful, Douglas. Congratulations on that.
Paul, I don't know if you want to notice this. I'm very, very excited for the next 2 hours, and here's why. I want to play for you something that Cliff Kingsbury said. We'll get into that in just a second. But right now, at this exact moment, now that Cliff Kingsbury has left the building, this is the moment when Ron Wolfley starts to check out before his vacation.
A little bit.
Okay.
Maybe.
And yet, at 9 o'clock, Rick Tockett's coming in. Check out on that, Wolf. You want a piece
of my heart. It's funny, because I check out every time you guys play Loverboy, so everyone has... Everyone has their own eject button.
Yet you walk around in your Jordache jeans.
Stop it. Just
pulled
stop it right
up
now.
Tight, Paul.
Paul, what do you do for
what
fun?
What we should do is get Rick Tockett to give us a dramatic reenactment of how he used to pummel guys up against the boards and just let him pull a wool sweatshirt over his head and just beat him down. Do that. That'd be good for clicks. That'd be good for clicks, Wolf.
We don't want that. Yeah.
This is one of those good to be an American type of stories. If you didn't get to hear it earlier this morning at 7:30,
shirt needs to stay right where it is.
Cliff Kingsbury was asked a question by Wolf in which tell us about your dad. And I didn't know this, but his father, former Marine who was a war veteran and at the same time molded toughness with his boys. And the first question was about his dad as role model.
Yeah, what an incredible role model. Grew up very, you were early to everything, with that Marine background and, unless the bone was sticking out, you didn't lay on the field type mentality. So he's a great man, a great coach. It was awesome to kind of share him with my friends in high school growing up and to see the level of respect they had for him and then to play for him. Wouldn't trade that for the world. So he's still my biggest mentor and biggest fan and means a lot to me.
That little bit there, and not me at the end there, that little bit where he said, share my friends with him in high school. I mean, think about how many times one of your parents drove you crazy when you were a teenager. And isn't that like the greatest compliment you, now that all of us, not all of us, but a lot of us listening right now are into fatherhood. Isn't that one of the greatest things you could imagine your kids saying about you, that you enjoyed the times your friends were around your parent, or in a sense, you? And when he said that line about unless your bone is sticking out, you get up.
I love that.
We asked him then, okay, since your dad exemplifies toughness as a war veteran, tell us a story about how his toughness wore on you. He told us a story I don't think anybody was ready for.
It all stems from when he got shot in Vietnam. He got shot in the jaw, and he had to kind of take on enemy fire for like 3 hours waiting for the helicopter to come get him. So anytime, I mean, my brother and I knew not to complain about an injury, because that's hard to compare to that. And it started there. And he's just very tough-minded. You never started a sport or started anything and quit. That wasn't, in his vocabulary. And then you were going to be tough. So it was good. I think going through it, it was a little tough. But as you get older, you really appreciate the lessons that he instilled in you.
I don't think this is patronizing that if they get off to a rough start or if things aren't going well, bring dad in. Have dad talk to the guys. I mean, when I hear a story like that, you think you've got it tough? 3 hours in the jungles of Vietnam taking on enemy fire, and you don't know when the helicopter's coming. Oh.
You know what's amazing about it, I think, and Douglas, you can verify this. Paulie wasn't here, obviously, but Cliff Kingsbury lit up when we asked him that question.
Every question we asked him was just, here it is. Whatever.
Yes.
This is media. I'm the coach, blah, 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 blah. And one question about his dad. And
did you see
suddenly,
his eyes light up?
I'm not trying to be a jerk to him. Suddenly he's a human being. I mean, it was, I can't wait to tell you about my father.
Very, very interesting right there. But, Pauly, what were your other takeaways? Just your other takeaways from Cliff Kingsbury.
Well, I think this whole moniker of being Hollywood just needs to cease and desist and die immediately. And if that doesn't put the final nail in the coffin, that moniker
Great
is
point.
Misleading.
Great point.
Wolf asked, what's the biggest misperception?
I don't really listen to it. I know that sounds cliche, but I try to stay away from all writings and TV shows and all of that and focus on what I can control. And, you know, that's...
Well, you know, they've got this Hollywood vision
right.
of you, right?
Right, yeah.
How accurate is that?
Yeah, I mean, not very accurate. I think if you watch me on a daily basis, it's about the least Hollywood lifestyle you can imagine. So I just, you know, you roll with it. You do the best you can every day and focus on what you can control.
Right to your point, Paul.
You know, I just had this conversation with Jeff Munn down the hallway, and it went something like this. Herm Edwards is probably better geared up for the college game. Just the way his ability to motivate and his energy and how he translates with young men. I would venture to say, based on 1 month in, Cliff Kingsbury might be better equipped for the NFL game as a thinker and a grinder and a guy who doesn't... I don't think he's all that interested in the whole boosters and all that kind of... That's not him.
Right, Pauly.
It really isn't.
Yeah.
He's the military household background and his upbringing. I think it lends itself better to the NFL game, and he might have a better chance where he can outsource the defense and not worry about it, and Vance Joseph is the defensive head coach, as he called him. I think he's better equipped, actually, for this level, perhaps, than he was at the college game
in a lot of ways. It's so funny you say that, Paul, because... Two things that happened behind the scenes here in the interview with Cliff Kingsbury that nobody knows about, and I'll share. I asked him off air, what do you like to do that's not coaching? What do you like to do that's not football? And he goes, I love to fish. And I don't get a lot of times that he talked about fishing. And I said, really, not golf? And he said, I used to golf a lot as a player, but as I became a coach, I didn't. And I said, wait, all the college golf tournaments and the boosters and he goes, I didn't really like that.
There you go.
So
okay.
You not only did you nail there that you aspect of him, but one small little anecdote is as Grant was walking out, okay, Grant is a kid that was an intern for ASU's radio arm years ago and would help set up remotes for me when I did road shows for the ASU pregame show. So I've known this young man for a long time, and Grant
Great
now
kid.
Works unbelievably hard for the Cardinals in their media department and filming everything, camera kid, and he's
in about 10 years, by the way, we'll all be working for Grant.
Yes.
Anyway, go ahead.
He's
Great
filming shoot. Everything, and he's tearing down his camera, and the guy doesn't say anything, okay? I mean, I got to force Grant to talk to me. And
he does his job.
Cliff Kingsbury walks out. Nobody's in the room anymore in the Auction Community Studios, and I just kind of said, I think to you, and I just said, man, that guy's a good dude. And I met Cliff, and it was because it was nice to meet him. And then Grant turned and looked at me and said, great dude, really good guy.
That
now,
matters,
this is a kid that never says a word to me unless I talk to him, okay? Nice as can be, but never says a word. And if Cliff Kingsbury wasn't a good dude...
Yeah.
If you hear somebody compliment him, wouldn't you just walk out quietly and then laugh later and tell somebody else that knows Cliff? Man, he's got
Doug and Wolf.
Doug can't read anybody. He couldn't stop himself from verifying Cliff Kingsbury is a good dude.
I'm going to misquote it probably. James Saxon said it much better, but during the media session, there was a soundbite, and they asked about his early impressions of Cliff Kingsbury, and he said, well, so far he's been a man of his word. What he's done has matched up with what he's said.
Oh, that's well
Pauly.
Said.
And in the NFL, that's vital.
Don't you want that said about it yourself from anybody else?
Yeah.
No, that's good.
Can I just say this? The biggest takeaway that I had, it wasn't that. It wasn't what you said, Paul, right? It wasn't some of the obvious things. It wasn't had nothing to do with Kyler Murray. It had nothing to do with Josh Rosen. The biggest takeaway that I had everything to do with what he's going to do in the fall.
You mean talking in the ear of his quarterback?
Yeah.
Well, I think you have to do that with California quarterbacks, don't you, Paul?
Oh, okay. Oh, okay, now.
We need to respond on this.
Coming from
we
the...
need to talk about this.
Right. I should tweet out a picture how you guys do this whole show off the prompter. Maybe I should do that.
We'll do exactly what Wolf's... If you didn't understand what Wolf is just referring to, we'll talk about it next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Ah. As you can imagine, in our conversation with Cliff Kingsbury, we talked about a lot of different things and even had fun with him. Hey, do you want to tell every mock draft writer quit writing the name Murray?
It wouldn't be any fun if we did that. They get let those guys have a lot of speculation and get some clickbait, and we'll just keep having fun with it.
All right.
I'm pretty much as that's going to be the way it is, yep, all the way up to the draft, ladies and gentlemen.
If you didn't hear the previous beautiful part of the program, an unbelievably amazing story about anybody who's done something like this, an American hero, his father, for what he went through in Vietnam and the way he raised his two boys. You talked to him about the importance of a relationship with his quarterback.
Yeah, he needs to understand we're in this together, and I want him to he has, kind of the keys of the castle, and let's build this deal as a group and make sure that he's comfortable in everything we're doing. If he doesn't like something going on with the offense or the way I'm coaching it, hey, let's talk about it and let's come to the best answer. And I think when they have that type of ownership, it goes a long way.
Boy, not only that, the relationship with his quarterback also, but I was also talking to him about commanding the room, and does he still need to be able to do that as a head coach? There were so many things, the conversation about his father, of course, the conversation about Kyle Murray.
Here's Kyler Murray. The part where you just mentioned, do you have to command the room? And you asked him, is that antiquated?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think you've got to have their respect, no doubt. They've got to understand why they're doing things, and that you're going to have their back, and you want what's in the best interest of the organization. And I think as long as you can prove those things, guys will respond and work hard for you.
And that wasn't my biggest takeaway, Douglas.
You know, there's some things that's interesting. You don't invent things a lot of time. Of course, there are some inventions, but sometimes you have all the tools, but somebody uses them in a way that no one's ever thought of. And it doesn't make sense why nobody else does it that way. I'll never forget the first time BA in training camp pulled out the walkie-talkie. Instead of standing in the huddle in practice, yeah, during team or anything to do with the offense, instead of standing in the huddle and giving the play, or the quarterback running to you off the huddle and then running into the huddle and giving the play, he said, if I talk into your helmet during the game, why don't I do it at practice?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, nobody else did that. They're like, well, that's so obvious. Of course, why wouldn't you do that? Why shouldn't the quarterback every single practice get used to the microphone, or excuse me, the speaker in his helmet? So it seems like there's some things that are obvious, and yet Sean McVay is the first one to ever say, wait a minute, if the rules say I can talk until there are 15 seconds left on the play clock, why shouldn't I tell him what I see? He's a former quarterback and an offensive guru. Mm-hmm. Why shouldn't I walk my quarterback through everything? Interestingly enough, guess when he stopped doing that? The Super Bowl. In the Super Bowl, the game plan was he didn't want the New England Patriots to be able to see their formation. It used to be go up to the huddle, get in your formation, let me see how the defense reacts, and now I'll tell you, Jared Goff, what to look at. Well, this game, he actually decided, I'm going to wait until past 15 seconds, till there's little time on the play clock, and then I'm going to get in my formation so you can't check. Well, what did he lose? The ability to communicate with Jared Goff.
Well, I think he, at that point in time, probably believed that Jared Goff knew the offense,
yeah,
the way that he should.
And there was a struggle offensively. So you ask Cliff Kingsbury, is he going to follow that model and be in Rosen's ear until the last second?
Yeah, it's the, coach to quarterback communication system is going to be new to me. So I think that definitely will give some time to get some thoughts to him and see what we see defensively, and hopefully can help him. You don't want to cloud their mind as well. You want to coach them through the week so that they're ready and prepared for what they're going to face. But yeah, any of that last minute information you get to them could be vital.
That was the biggest takeaway I had from Cliff Kingsbury, period. Basinonians, this is going to be something that I think is going to be national news. I do believe that. I think it's going to be national news because – how many comparisons have you seen Cliff Kingsbury to Sean McVay? Right? How many comparisons have you seen, right? And yet you've got Josh Rosen in his second year, very similar to Jared Goff. You got Josh Rosen in his second year, right? And now all of a sudden you're going to start talking to him as well. Get ready for this, ladies and gentlemen. Get ready for the Arizona Cardinals to get in a huddle, call a play, and then sprint up to the line. Get ready for this. Sprinting up to the line and snapping the ball on the first sound. Or going ahead and backing off. Because if, in fact, you're going to do that, if, in fact, you're going to talk to Josh Rosen right up to when the play clock says you can, if you're going to do that, you are trying to get the defense to declare in front of you what it is they're going to do. And there's only one way you can truly keep them honest, and that is to every now and then break the huddle, run up to the line, and snap the ball on the first sound. And that's something the Rams did not do in Super Bowl 53.
Right, you're right.
To your point, Doug Lease, that's one of the things they did not do, which just totally baffled me. But it makes perfect sense when you find out what it is that they were doing and what it is that Sean McVay was thinking. This is going to be huge. Cliff Kingsbury is going to be talking to Josh Rosen.
Forever, other than, of course, when you get
past the play call.
When you get past the 35-yard line, it's a little different. You don't see coaches standing at the 10, but forever, coaches stand right on the line of scrimmage and then radio in the call to the quarterback. Sean McVay stands at the opposite end of the field to give him the best angle at the defense.
Mm-hmm.
So then he can read the defense as if he's playing quarterback and help with the progressions on. So it's kind of funny when you get your defensive information, you've got to set up to fool the coach more than the quarterback.
Yes, and let me just say this as well. 2 years ago, B.A. told me he thought it was the most brilliant thing on the face of the planet.
That McVay is doing that.
That McVay was doing that. He told me that. I was like, B.A., what do you think about this? I mean, it drives me crazy. Are you kidding me? Sitting there talking to Jared Goff. Jared Goff ought to know everything about the offense. B.A. said, I think it's brilliant.
It's
why nobody thought of that.
It's the false bravado of you're the quarterback. You should know this offense. I can't hold your hand. Go out there and do it.
Yeah.
And yet the truth is, wait a minute. Anything that gives you an advantage, why wouldn't you do it?
It's so Belichickian.
It is
what it is.
It is. Have you, by the way, speaking of Bill Belichick, did you see the NFL Films video of him arguing with the referee about the roof in Atlanta?
No.
They had a whole kickoff set up, but because the NFL wanted to time out the closing of the roof to right after the flyover, the roof was going to remain open for the opening kickoff, and it was in the process of closing. And Belichick was furious because he was told the roof is going to be closed for the game. So to him, the game means the opening kickoff. And they had a plan in store for the opening kickoff, whatever it might be. And now they had to change the plan because they were worried about the wind since the roof was still closing. And that little minute detail, I mean, you think about it, you're in the middle of the Super Bowl, you're getting ready to go. He notices the roof is open and he's all over the ref about it.
I'm sorry I missed that.
It was good. Have you subscribed to the Doug and Wolf podcast? Subscribe right now on your iPhone or Android. You'll never miss any of the show. It's the Doug and Wolf podcast brought to you this week by Kinetico. And I got to tell you, I think it's a must listen to this week. If you're a Cardinals fan, Suns fan, ASU fan, Coyotes fan, Rising fan, and Diamondbacks fan, you want the latest information. You got it straight from the people that make those decisions, even from, again, one of the best interviews we've ever had with Dan Marley of the Antelopes today, or excuse me, on Monday. Coming up next, will the air raid actually work in the NFL? Guess what Cliff Kingsbury is learning right now? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Are you talking to me? Cliff Kingsbury! Yeah, Cliff! Ray! Speck! Roses! Ray! Speck! Talking to Josh Rosen! After he called the play! Yeah!
Your Pantera call-out is driven by AutoNation. 13 dealerships in the Valley, over 100,000 new and pre-owned vehicles on AutoNation.com. Find what you're looking for today.
Paul, I don't know if you found this nearly as funny as I did. And I fine if you want to tweet me and anybody and say, Doug, that's really not that funny. But the offensive coordinator of your beloved Houston Cougars, everybody loves the Houston Cougars, at one point was a gentleman by the name of Cliff Kingsbury. And the quarterback that he was coaching was Case Keenum. And
Case Keenum.
I'm assuming that the Broncos don't want Case Keenum anymore. Maybe they do. Maybe they say, hey, we'll spend money on two quarterbacks at the same time as the reported trade with Joe Flacco. But I'm assuming Case Keenum will be out there. And I'm sure that there's, with 32 teams, there might be somebody offering him the opportunity to be a starter again. But I would have to think you'd be interested in kicking the tires a little bit. Case, would you like to come here? So we asked him, would you like to have a quarterback who knows your system very well? Would that help in teaching Josh Rosen or whoever the quarterback is? And we can't say the name Case Keenum when we ask the question because that's tampering in the NFL. So notice we didn't say the name Case.
Yeah, I think it's case-by-case basis.
Oh, okay, okay. Now, come on. How fantastic is that answer? Yeah. Yeah. The only answer better than case-by-case basis?
Oh, right. He was going to take it on a base-by-base basis.
Oh, no.
It's called a malaprop, ladies and gentlemen, and it happens from time to time to the best of us.
He didn't even get it. He didn't even know he had made that joke. And then I said, I love the answer that it's a case-by-case basis. And the grin on his face of embarrassment, realizing he just walked into that, was pretty good. We had a lot of takeaways today from our Cliff Kingsbury conversation. It lasted 30 minutes. It'll be up at arizonasports.com. You can also subscribe to the Doug and Wolf podcast and get it right to your phone. But one of the elements, not the number one takeaway, but one of the things that I think is interesting to focus on is how the air raid will work in the NFL. And we asked him about his conversations with his now offensive coaching staff. Like, have you been challenged by the offensive coaching staff? That's a bad idea in the NFL. Or have you adjusted a lot in talking to them about your offense?
Yeah, that's been a fascinating experience for me, simply because the rules are different, hashes are different. I mean, there's things that go into it that maybe it doesn't work. And so let's get to the best place collectively for that play. And that's what we've done the last 2 weeks. I've sat in there and watched a ton of film and said, hey, this play is going to work and this is why, or hey, we got to adjust it because of the field and the hashes and the rules of the game. And so that's been great for all of us, I think.
Think Los Angeles Rams when you think of this offense going forward. That's what I think it's going to be. The Todd Gurley comparisons there and how you might do it with David Johnson. The only thing I would say is maybe you're going to use David Johnson as more of a distraction from time to time. Oh, you're going to pay it off as well. You're going to give him the ball. There's no doubt about that, but couldn't you see David Johnson being the motion guy when you're running the jet sweep? Could you not see that getting him the ball? Do you think that's going to move everybody's eyes if you're playing at the second and third level in the secondary? You better believe it's going to move their eyes.
That sounds
it's David
creative,
Johnson.
Wolf. Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, don't go down that road.
Did you guys
do
ask
your
him
job
whether the air raid is a moniker that is accurate, that is apt, that he prefers? Does he detest it? Does it apply? What do you think of the air raid moniker? Because based on what I've heard so far, it's just flat wrong. It's Sean Kugler was talking to the media, the offensive line coach, and one of the takeaways he gave to us the other day was this offense, this is him talking now, is going to feature the run a lot more than people think. Mm-hmm. And this offense is going to be physical. It's not just going to be throwing the ball, empty backfields. We will run the ball, and we will run the ball in a physical fashion. And in his words,
ball.
That's going to surprise a lot of people.
Yeah, no doubt. But I think, once again, that's taking Cliff Kingsbury in the air raid offense, and it's tailoring it to the National Football League.
It's also, I can tell you, this is one of the few things, you know, I like to consider myself a minor league baseball historian. When I say minor league, not a historian on the minor leagues, just you put me in the room with real baseball historians, I'm going to embarrass myself. But I know a lot about the history of baseball. One of the few things I really do know a lot about the history of football is Paul Brown. And Paul Brown is actually the inventor of the West Coast offense. It's just he didn't have really great players. And Bill Walsh was an assistant. So he gets the head coaching job, Stanford and San Francisco. He's a West Coast guy. The offense explodes. It gets called the West Coast offense. But all of the people that are disciples of Bill Walsh, they run the West Coast offense, but they run their version. John Gruden's West Coast offense is different than Bill Walsh's.
No doubt.
It changes with every level and every generation. And really what I took from Cliff Kingsbury is he's fine with the whole air raid notion because, yes, there are plenty of principles that he's been taught, but his air raid is not Mike Leach's anymore. It's not Dana Holgerson's anymore. And then when we asked him about specific types of plays.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of traditional NFL-style plays, if you will, and we're going to have NFL run game at times.
You're going to have a fullback, Coach?
We'll see.
We'll see how it goes. Like I said, we want to put the best players on the field and adapt to them, and so we're still evaluating the roster and seeing what fits. But, no, at times we'll play with some tempo. We'll do different things, have an attacking style. But I don't think it'll be as foreign as people are saying.
The Rams get into 11 personnel, one back, one tight end, three wide receivers, and for the most part they stay in 11 personnel. And I think that's probably what we're going to see going forward. Just a guess.
A lot of the assistants talked about the plays themselves, once you snap the ball, aren't going to be revolutionary. The concepts aren't going to, just redefine the game, but it's how you get to the play.
Interesting.
And doesn't that remind you of the Rams? Doesn't that remind you of Kyle Shanahan? Kyle Shanahan, according to the Cardinals defensive players, he's going to run like five run plays, but it's going to be out of different personnel groups. It's going to look different with different motions, and it's just going to be set up differently. Ultimately, though, when you snap the ball, the play is going to be akin to what every team runs.
Isn't that funny to hear you talk about it? Because the old school Packers under Mike Holmgren, they had Andy Reid and John Gruden on the same staff. Yet John Gruden's version of the West Coast offense is unbelievably wordy, limited plays, but about 500, I'm not making up a number here, 500 formations that they're going to run the play out of. While Andy Reid doesn't have 900 million plays, but he has 900 people in motion to set up the play to get you confused. And then there's misdirections based on the play that they just ran before that was more of a power. Oh, now we're going misdirection, blah, blah, blah. So it's I want to confuse you before I snap the ball, almost like, as you've been mentioning this week, a 1940s let me fool you with all this motion. But once you actually see this guy's blocking this guy's blocking this guy, and you're running into this hole, and it was the same play that's been run since Vince Lombardi.
Guys, so I'm telling you right now, the biggest change in the game of football going forward is going to be this freak back, the freak back that I'm talking about, a guy that can play fullback, and yet you can move him out into the slot and actually let him catch the ball. I'm telling you right now, imagine Kyle Shanahan and 21 personnel. All the things that Kyle Shanahan does out of 21 personnel, and now all of a sudden, you have the ability to motion a guy out, and now this guy can run routes and catch the ball as well as anybody. To some degree, they do it already with Kyle Juszczyk, right? But, Paulie, I'm telling you right now, I played with a guy named Earl Farrell. When I came into the league in 1985, ladies and gentlemen, Earl Farrell was the fullback for the St. Louis Cardinals. 6'2", 240 pounds, had great hands, and he played fullback. And he could block. Now, he wasn't a great blocker because he just didn't totally give himself to it. But he could have. You find that guy, and I'm telling you right now, in today's NFL, you got gold. Because you can either get in the I formation and run something as base as an ISO or the power, and then the next play, the very next play, suddenly look like a spread team and run everything you do with spread. That's going to be the back everyone's going to be looking for in the next 5 years.
Or George Kittle. I mean, George Kittle just had a record-breaking season, the most prolific season as a tight end in the history of the game, and nobody knows it. But he did it out of a lot of those same formations you're talking
about. That's what George Kittle does. They also move him into the backfield and let him block, Paul.
Yes.
Coming up next, okay, they have Josh Rosen, but does it bother them, the Kyler Murray speculation? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
get ready. Dan Marley coming off of his first home losing streak last weekend. Just brought it to start off Newsmakers Week.
They're different in the fact that they're entitled. They think it should just happen.
And now, Rick Tocchet in 15 minutes coming up after a 4-0 loss to the Blues. I'm very, very interested in how this is going to go.
Yeah, Tock, ladies and gentlemen. Would you say Tock was a tough guy?
I would say Tock was a tough guy.
He was a tough guy, no doubt about it. But do you still need to be tough to play the game of hockey, ladies and gentlemen? Is it a prerequisite in order to playing the game of hockey
yes.
well?
Yes.
We're going to ask him.
Yeah, those guys are still unbelievable of what they the physical toll it takes, and then the entire hockey mantra. I mean, people laugh when a linesman gets hit with a puck, mm-hmm. and then they come back with stitches, and they're back on the ice. Well, he's a hockey ref. You know, I mean, it is. The whole sport is, if you're not the guy that sucks it up, you're the guy that lets everybody down in an entire sport. It's
yes.
amazing how they look at things like that, and I just absolutely love that about the game. We have so much to talk about from a Cliff Kingsbury standpoint and an Arizona Cardinals standpoint, but one of them was the dynamic that's going into this year, this draft of the Kyler Murray situation and how everyone wants to say that's a better guy for your offense, and the humor behind Cliff Kingsbury actually saying that's the number one pick if I was in charge of the draft while he was a college football coach. And you asked him, does all of that storyline bother you?
No, I don't think so. I think it comes with the territory. Anytime you have the number one pick, there's a lot of intrigue and a lot of hype. And, you know, both those guys are tremendous players. And it's going to be fun going through the process for the first time.
So we asked him as a follow-up. Well, then you have a chance right now to squash this. You can declare to the whole world that 2019, Josh Rosen is the starting quarterback. We're done talking about it.
Yeah.
We're not even going to evaluate quarterbacks. There's no reason to do it because we've got our quarterback and the pick's for sale, anybody that wants it. Or are you going to study Kyler Murray, Haskins, Locke? Are you going to study every quarterback?
Yeah, it makes you think you're in the Truman Show, you know, when something like that comes at you.
Oh, let me tell you why he said that, because I did say you are the only coach to ever say you want this guy as the number one pick
yes.
when you don't have the number
right.
one pick, and then you get it. That's why he joked that way.
Yeah, it makes you think you're in the Truman Show, you know, when something like that comes at you, waiting for the guy to kind of, hey, this is all a big play that you're in. But no, I think anytime you have the first pick, you're going to look at all the top guys. You're going to evaluate everyone, see who can help your franchise, your organization the most right now. And so we'll evaluate them all and go from there.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Even if you had a Hall of Fame running back, by way of example, or a Hall of Fame tackle, or a Hall of Fame defensive tackle, a Hall of Fame three technique, Hall of Fame Mike linebacker, you're going to evaluate all of these guys. And the reason why you're going to do it, of course, not only for your own records, but at some point in time, they may become free agents down the road. You may want to compare and contrast their career in the NFL with what you had written about them when they came out of college. You need to do your due diligence for the most part, right? It's one of the reasons why, of course, they would evaluate anybody at any position. It doesn't matter, even if you've got a Hall of Famer there and you're not going to draft a guy at that position. Doesn't matter, because 4 years from now, it might be a totally different situation.
And there's another thing that you don't think about. I think the average fan doesn't think about. I admit I didn't think about till I got here into Phoenix and it was explained to me. Everybody wants to be the number one pick. Everybody wants to be an early draft choice. If you're the Arizona Cardinals, why wouldn't you evaluate every aspect of Kyler Murray, every aspect of Dwayne Haskins and Locke?
Oh, yeah.
Even if you have no desire to draft them, so you have something to compare to 4 years from now when they become a free agent, or 6 years from now, or wherever they are,
yeah.
to be able to say, I knew you here. I knew what you said here. Now let's compare those same answers, those same actions, so we know more about you and take advantage of this terrible situation that we're in.
Yeah.
So you have a basis of comparison.
Yeah. That's what I just said.
No, it's not. Because I did this and you did this.
So good, Douglas. Listen, the Cardinals believe they have the right guy at Josh Rosen.
And it doesn't mean that there isn't another guy that's better.
They believe that, right? And they're going to proceed with that. It's the reason why they went out and got Cliff Kingsbury in the beginning. Because they thought, man, he's going to be a really good matchup with Josh Rosen going forward. This is going to be really, really interesting because all the way up to draft day, it is going to be about Josh Rosen, Kyler Murray, and Cliff Kingsbury.
And it doesn't stop until they either trade the pick or draft somebody else.
That's exactly right. It is not going to stop, even if the Cardinals come out and say, we are not going to draft Kyler Murray. We're not going to do it. Don't ask us a question going forward.
Okay.
It's still going to be a topic of conversation. The possibilities. Do you believe it? All the leaks, all the rumors that are going to happen all the way up to the draft, or as Doug Lee said, until something gives, until something is satisfied, and that something being Kyler Murray is not going to play football suddenly, right?
And then it'll just be with Dwayne Haskins. I mean, it doesn't end until one of two things happens. Either the Cardinals trade the pick, or Roger Goodell announces a non-quarterback name at number one.
Yes, or Josh Rosen gets traded.
I'm just saying,
something's got to give at some point in time, or it's going to be the topic of conversation all the way up to the draft. That's stunning.
Here's a major reason why, and that is you want every team needing to get in front of the 49ers, every team needing to get in front of the list of teams that aren't drafting a quarterback. Because if you are one that's in the quarterback mix, maybe they'll trade with you. If the other teams are not worried about you drafting a quarterback, they'll trade for the number two pick. They'll trade for the number three pick. You have to keep that door open the whole time, too. Coming up next, the head coach of the Arizona Coyotes. Why is your team one of the best teams in hockey when you're not at home? And not very good when you're right there in the friendly confines of Glendale. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.